Would you please open to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read a portion of this chapter. In my opinion, it's one of the greatest revelations of the difference between living as Christ and living as the world, if you want. And you'll understand as we go through this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul writes, "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." So what he's telling you right here in verse 6, what we're speaking, what we're teaching, does not originate with this world. Now, if it doesn't originate with this world, it had to come from somewhere other than this world. The only way you can teach something that does not originate with this world is to figure out how to receive this information from outside this world. Now that's really important. And it's a very simple concept that can easily be missed when you read through this. Well, he continues in verse 7. And he begins to clarify. In verse 6 he had said, "We speak the wisdom that's not of this world, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." Well, here he's letting us know and confirming something we already know. This wisdom that we speak, that we teach, it's not of this world. It comes from outside this world. And it comes from God. So he's letting us know that God's existence is outside what we refer to as this world. "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." So what he's telling us is that this wisdom, which is normally a mystery, God had ordained from before the foundation of the world that we would come to the place of knowing and understanding this wisdom or these mysteries, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Now stop right there. This almost sounds, well, it doesn't just almost sound like a contradiction. It is a contradiction. Because on the one hand, he says, we're preaching, teaching, speaking wisdom that is a mystery to people. This wisdom does not have as its origin anything in this world, because its origin is God. And that God ordained for us to have the knowledge and understanding of this wisdom. Or in other words, that this mystery would be revealed to us. But then he turns right around and he says, "It is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Well, that is written. It's a reference to Isaiah 64:4. That is true. But if that is true, something has to have happened to where now we have the ability to access this information. Well, as he continues, he explains this. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Well, now in this 10th verse, he says, God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now that's a capital S. It shouldn't be. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. You say, well, wait a minute now. He has to be talking about the Holy Spirit. Well, why do you think that? Because it's a capital S. No. All right, think of it this way. Did the Holy Spirit move and operate in the Old Testament? That's not meant to be a trick question. Absolutely. So therefore, the Holy Spirit moved among and upon people in the Old Testament. But yet, these things were still mysteries. However, he says, God reveals them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Two times the word Spirit is capitaled. Capitaled, is that a word? Capitalized. You use your dictionary, I'll use mine. Two times, and Kathy just shakes her head and rolls her eyes. Two times he capitalizes the word Spirit. Both times they should not be capitalized. Now look. Look at the second Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Think about this. What deep things of God does the Holy Spirit have to search for? None. The Holy Spirit is God. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is already the possessor of these deep things. So then, what Spirit is it that is searching the deep things of God? Well, it has to be God's Spirit, the born-again Spirit in me. God's life, God's nature, God's Spirit in me. Now that tells me that verse 10, God reveals these mysteries, these deep things that previously had never entered into the heart of man, because until now, until Jesus completed His work, man did not have a heart or a spirit that was able to receive and understand these things. But now that we're born again and we have His life, nature, Spirit in us, this is the avenue through which God reveals these mysteries. Then He tells me that it is the Spirit, my Spirit, meaning my born again Spirit, that has come from God when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. My Spirit in me, God's life and nature in me, searches all things, the deep things of God. This is critical. Because what that tells me is, the moment I get born again, my spirit does not already know those things. And if my spirit does not already... Well, if my spirit already knew those things, why search? Why search the deep things? I would already have that knowledge. I would already understand these things. No. My spirit is searching these things, studying, researching, seeking out these deep things of God. My spirit is doing this because my spirit has the capacity to know these things and to understand these things. Now, there are Christians out there who actually teach that the moment you become born again, you know all things. I could identify some... In fact, there are some people who were relieved of their job positions at a particular Christian education institution of higher learning because they were teaching that Christians already know everything the moment they get born again. That's impossible, because if I knew everything, I would not need to be searching out the deep things of God. So he's telling me here there is a transition, that without Christ, without being born again, I do not have a spirit that can search out and understand the deep things of God. Verse 11. And in verse 11, he's trying to explain this in a little bit differently. He says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him?" Well, that's true. You know the things of you because of your spirit in you, because of who you are. "Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." It's kind of King Jamesy, but what he's saying, even so, the things of God no man can fully comprehend unless he has God's life, God's nature inside of him, enabling him to understand these things. And he picks up in verse 12, and he begins kind of explaining how they came to this place of comprehending all this wisdom, all of these mysteries that they now understand and are teaching. He said, "We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God." Now, hallelujah, small case s. They got it right here. We have received the spirit which is of God, so that we might know, comprehend, understand, grasp the things that are freely given to us of God. Well, see, that's very similar to what he said in verse 9, that, you know, prior to having God's life, nature, and spirit inside of you, you know, eye hasn't seen, ear heard, it's not even entered into the heart of man. Those things God's prepared for them that love him. But now that we're born again, and this born again experience did not impart to us the same spirit that exists in the world, call it the lost nature for simplicity. He said, no, we received the born again spirit, which came directly from God, that has given us the ability to know and understand even the deep things of God. So if somebody, and I've heard this before, Christians say, well, you know, there's some things in the Bible we'll just never understand. Well, would you say that's a deep thing of God? Well, oh, yeah, some things are very, very deep. Deep calleth unto deep. But it says here that we have the ability to know these deep things. Therefore, since all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, correction, etc., and so forth, I have the ability, because I'm born again and have God's life and nature in me, I have the ability to understand all of Scripture and to comprehend the deep things of God. And he says, and continues in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So he says, these things that we're teaching you, you know, we're not teaching them to you because we receive them through the words of man's wisdom. In other words, we didn't go and sit down and listen to somebody teach these things to us using Greek or using Hebrew. It didn't come to us, this teaching, this information, the comprehension of these mysteries, the breakdown of these deep things of God did not come to us in a language of man's words, but came to us with words the Holy Ghost teacheth. The Holy Ghost using the language he teaches with. He's telling you right here, praying in tongues is what has enabled us to receive the download of this information, the comprehension of these things. And it is by using these words taught to us by the Holy Ghost, or this language that has been imparted to us, taught to us by the Holy Spirit, using this language, it brings about in us a comparing of spiritual things with spiritual. Well, again, that's kind of King Jamesy. Let me try and simplify it. As I'm using this language of the Holy Ghost, I'm praying in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is able to take the deep things of God, the mysteries, these things that I never knew and never understood before, and he turns around and he begins comparing all of these truths of God to my new nature. In other words, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He takes that revelation and he says, now, I want to show this to you relative to who you are in Christ. It is his life in you, the hope of glory. Let me show you another one here. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. He takes the words on the pages and turns them into a living reality that we can comprehend. He compares the spiritual things of our Father to our spiritual existence. He gives us an education. And then he says in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Well, lost people, see, here's what's interesting. You can go through, a lost person can read the Bible. You know there are lost people who do read the Bible? Sure. But when it comes to understanding these deep things of God, they can't. Now, they could come to the place of reading, "Ye must be born again," and think about that and said, "Well, wow, I need to be born again." And they can understand that. And there are other things. God is love. Well, if He's love, He must not be a mean God. They can understand to a certain point. But when it goes beyond, let me say it like this, the surface comprehension, they're totally lost. They cannot understand these things. This, listen now, this is one of the reasons why man has come up with all these variations, interpretations, and versions of Scripture. They're trying to make it easier for an unspiritual mind to understand. You know, I shared before that the Holy Spirit is the author. I mean, you know, all Scripture given by inspiration of God. Trust me, the Holy Spirit does not look at the King James and say, "I have no clue what this is saying. All this King James stuff, your guess is as good as mine." He didn't look at it and say, "I don't know, it's Greek to me." Anyway, the Holy Spirit, if He understands it, do you seriously think He cannot convey the understanding to you, to us? Sure He can. And I'm not even going on a tangent. Yes, I will. The King James Version, the way it is written, and I don't understand the terminology that's used, but it is written in a way that it stimulates the brain to a higher level of development. Just by reading, lost people can read it, and it stimulates the brain to a higher level of development. That's why people ought to be reading the King James. "Well, I don't understand it." Holy Spirit can help. Just to stimulate brain development. Well, anyway, keep going here. He says, "The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now, think of it like this. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. What Spirit? Holy Spirit? Well, yeah, I mean, I understand that part, but think with me now. In the Old Testament, were there not people that heard the Holy Spirit speak to them? I mean, you'd go through and read the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit moved on people and spoke to people and conveyed things to people. So, it isn't that people can't receive instruction from the Holy Spirit. When He says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God," He's talking about my born-again spirit. The natural mind, when compared to God's life in me, cannot receive the things of God the way that God's life, God's Spirit in me, can receive them, because they come across as foolishness to the natural mind. The reason is because these things are spiritually discerned. What have I just learned in that verse? I've learned that lost people are clueless. I mean, they really are. They're not stupid, but when it comes to what He's talking about here, they don't know. He tells me that these things, the deep things of God, are spiritually discerned. Well, now, with what Spirit? Well, Spirit of God. We've already learned that. So it is with the Spirit of God in me, the born-again Spirit, that I have the ability to discern, understand, comprehend, etc., these things of God. And in the next verse, 15, he says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." You know, that verse stumped me for years. Like, what's he really talking about here? Well, we'll get back to it in just a moment. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Who has known the mind of the Lord that he, that individual, could turn around and instruct the Lord? He says, well, nobody. But we have the mind of Christ. Now, here we see something introduced that had not previously been introduced in this passage. The mind of Christ. Now, what we had learned up to verse 16 is this. Without God's life in me, I do not have the ability to understand these mysteries, to break these mysteries down, to understand these deep things of God. But the moment I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and I received that born-again spirit from God, I now have the ability to comprehend and understand these things. But in verse 16, I can identify what it is about my born-again spirit that specifically enables me to understand these things. It is the mind of Christ. Now, when he says the mind of Christ, he's not talking about, you know, well, we get Jesus' brain. Now, we understand that. This phrase, mind of Christ, it really could be translated like this. We now, because we're born again and we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, His life, His nature, His character, we now have in that Spirit the ability to think in the same way that Jesus thinks. The mindset, the mind approach of Christ. Once again, I'm seeing there's something different then. There is a way to think as Christ thinks, and then there is a way to think the way the world thinks. Too many Christians don't know the difference. Now, I'm going to share some things with you as I was praying about all of this. I'm going to share with you some points, the differences between the mind of Christ and the human mind. I believe this is going to answer a lot of questions for many Christians as to why in the world does my life seem so messed up? Why can't I get things straight? Why am I continually struggling? Why this and why that? I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I can pray in tongues. I mean, I don't understand what is happening here. So let me share with you these comparisons. And if anybody wants a copy of this, you know, sure, you can have copies. It's fine. Number one, the mind of Christ originates with God. Now, we already picked up on that in this passage we read. The mind of Christ originates with God. The human mind originates with fallen man. Very simple. The mind of Christ originates with God. The human mind originates with fallen man. With which one were you born? The human mind. You do not have the mind of Christ when you were born. You didn't get that till you were born again. What if you didn't get born again until you were 50 years old? That means for 50 years, you've been living with a fallen mindset. Now all of a sudden, you're introduced to something new. Number two, the mind of Christ is supernatural in existence. The human mind is natural in existence. The mind of Christ, totally unrelated, in a manner of speech, to this world. But it can understand this world. It can understand this world in a way that the human mind can't. But the mind of Christ is supernatural in existence. The human mind is natural in existence. The mind of Christ has limitless capacity. It is infinite. The human mind has limited capacity. It is finite. This is not the way it started in Genesis 3, or Genesis 1 and 2, but in Genesis 3 it changed. See, when Adam sinned, it impacted every aspect of human existence, including the mindset. And quite frankly, it's interesting, but the human mind was at a pinnacle thousands of years ago. Here's what I'm getting at. You know, people would say, well, yes, but we have computers and they didn't have anything back then. Why, they didn't even have the sundial at first. I know that. But do you realize, just start researching all this. The Egyptians were unbelievably advanced medically. They have gone into, researchers, archaeologists, have gone into the tombs of Egyptians, you know, that were, you know, 5,000 years old. And they have actually found scalpels as sharp or sharper than any known instrument today used in surgery. And they can't figure out how in the world did they get these scalpels made. They have found evidence that the Egyptians understood brain surgery, how to drill little holes and perform surgery on the human brain. Well, we didn't know this except for the last, 100, 125 years? And some of these things we're still trying to figure out. The Egyptians figured out mummification. The Egyptians understood, and it wasn't just the Egyptians, it's other cultures as well, understood architecture and physics. I mean, think about what they did with the like the pyramids and so forth. They understood how to do things that today people can't explain how they knew this. Well, that's because the mind was still operating at a very high capacity, but it began dipping. And a lot of that information, knowledge, comprehension was lost because of the sin nature. Well, it's swinging back up now and has been for the last, 150 or so years, the Industrial Revolution. There's been an upswing, and it's continuing on this upswing. But it wasn't supposed to be like this. It was supposed to have started in Genesis 1 and 2 with that supernatural mind and then just continue on to this point. But the mind of Christ is not bound by fallen natural creation. The human mind is bound by fallen natural creation. The mind of Christ analyzes matters according to kingdom principles. The human mind analyzes matters according to natural physics and principles. This is why a lot of people tell you that certain things can't be done that the Bible says can be done. But you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. The human mind says, you cannot. Christians will tell you, you cannot. Number six, the mind of Christ is totally related to spiritual life. The human mind is totally related to natural life in a fallen world, and really spiritual death. Number seven, the mind of Christ is available to all Christians. The human mind is already in all Christians. When you get born again, you don't lose your human mind. It's still there. In a manner of speaking, you now are double-minded. Really? Because you have a human mind, and you now have the mind of Christ. Number eight, the mind of Christ must dominate the thought process of all Christians. The human mind must submit to the mind of Christ. We have just identified a major challenge, a war zone. Number nine, the mind of Christ must be fed the Word of God to develop His manner of thinking. The human mind has been trained to prioritize according to the limitations of human capability and to accept as truth those things dictated by natural law. Now I'm going to read that one again. The mind of Christ must be fed the Word of God to develop His manner of thinking. We've already talked about how you start out with the mind of Christ. You don't know these things. You have to search them out. But the human mind has been trained to prioritize according to the limitations of human capability and to accept as truth those things dictated by natural law. This is one of the reasons why a lot of kids, Christian kids, when they go to college, they come back thinking like the world. It's because they are prioritizing according to the world instead of according to the Word of God. Number 10, the mind of Christ will lie dormant in a Christian until developed. It's always there. But until it is developed, you will never be able to fully use it and never benefit from its full potential. The human mind, now this one's really interesting. The human mind can be renewed to flow more compatibly with the mind of Christ. The human mind can be renewed to flow more compatibly with the mind of Christ. And this goes along with the mind of Christ must dominate, the human mind must submit. Number 11, the mind of Christ is fully compatible with kingdom truth and Scripture. Fully compatible. But the human mind struggles to accept kingdom truth and generally interprets Scripture from a natural perspective. How many of us have done that in the past? The human mind struggles to accept kingdom truth. How many of us have gone through that? We hear a sermon. For me, example. I'll teach things. I've had people come back to me and say, man, I don't know about that. And then they'll throw things out. And things that they throw out are interpreted from a somewhat natural perspective. Well, the mind of Christ is fully compatible with kingdom truth and Scripture. Fully compatible. Therefore, a contradiction with Scripture and kingdom truth is a revelation of what mind you're using. Number 12. The mind of Christ is not at all challenged with the idea of doing the works of Jesus. The human mind struggles mightily with the concept of doing the works of Jesus. The works that I do, you shall do also. No one can do the works of Jesus but Jesus. If you believe in me, the works that I do, you shall do also. No one can do the works of Jesus. But if you believe in me, the work that was just for the apostles. That's what mind are we using here? The human mind. Number 13. The mind of Christ is completely foreign to all humans. I don't care if you're born again or not. The mind of Christ is completely foreign to all humans. The human mind is completely familiar to all humans. So here we are, born into this world without the life of God, without the Spirit of God. We have the human mind. We do not have the mind of Christ. And we begin to go through this process called learning. And as we learn, everything that we learn is based upon a fallen world. And we are continually told, even in churches, many churches, we're continually told that the things of this world tend to dominate. We're continually, if you go to a church and they don't believe in healing, are you not being told that sickness in a fallen natural world dominates a Christian? Sure you are. Absolutely. When we get born again, we now have received something, not just the born-again life, but we have received the mind of Christ that is totally foreign to us. Completely foreign. We have no idea what it does. We have no idea what it can do. We have no idea its potential in helping us. We're clueless. We seriously have no idea. When babies are born in the natural, they want to put everything in their mouth. They want to eat everything. And you have to watch them constantly. They'll pick up dirt, bugs. They don't care. They just won't put it in their mouth. And there it goes. Christians, is there not a similarity? As babes in Christ, we have a tendency to put anything and everything in our mouth. Why is that? Because our mind of Christ in us has not been developed to realize you can't put everything in your spiritual mouth. It's not good for you. Downside, though, so many Christians who do not understand how to think with the mind of Christ will think with the human mind and rationalize like this. But they're Christians, and they love Jesus, and we must learn how to tolerate our brothers and sisters regardless of what they believe or teach. But I don't see that in Scripture. Isn't there something in Romans where Paul says, mark those who cause divisions among us relative to the teaching of the apostles, the teaching, the doctrine that you've received from us? He says, and have no fellowship with them. He didn't say don't love them. He didn't say don't pray for them. He said have no fellowship with them. That means I won't go to their church. Yes, but they have good things. See, there's where the human mind is playing. But they have good things going. They have a good choir. They have good youth program. They have good this. They have good that. Yeah, okay, but But what about the mysteries of God? What about the deep things of God? What's happening in that church concerning those things? Well, you know, we know in part and we prophesy in part. Hey, don't give me that. That's a cop-out answer because you don't like where this conversation is headed. The human mind is that which Christians use and then convince themselves they know what they're talking about. Look in verse 15. You're still in 1 Corinthians. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. It's out of what we have been taught by the Holy Spirit and our use of the mind of Christ that we are fully capable of judging, understanding, discerning, comprehending all things. And man is not the judge of that which originates with the Holy Spirit in the mind of Christ. That's what he's talking about here. He that is spiritual, let me say it like this. He that relies on God's life inside of him and the operation of the mind of Christ, he has the ability to judge all things. Now, this judgment doesn't mean, you know, pass judgment as in, I'm right because God's made me special better than anybody else. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, I have the ability to judge what's going on, what's being taught, what's being said, and I will judge correctly because I'm operating. He said, he that is spiritual. He didn't say he that is born again. Spiritual. He's talking about, well, he just got through telling you about the Holy Spirit comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He that has submitted to this work of the Holy Spirit and has matured spiritually is now in a place to judge all things. And as he judges from this spiritual life position, no man is in a place to judge him right or wrong. But he's in a place to judge. He can say, no, that's not right. The human mind will argue with this. The mind of Christ will not. I'm hoping you're starting to understand how bad off the body of Christ is. How that all too often it seems to me, I'm going to just say it like this. Most Christians operate primarily by the human mind and just slightly by the mind of Christ. Because you see, if we're operating by the mind of Christ, then we're going to come into agreement with what is recorded in the Word of God. Now, the Holy Spirit, when He's working with us as believers, His goal is to teach us on a mind of Christ level what He couldn't do in the Old Testament. If you observe the lives of Christians, many times what happens is we come across as Old Testament Christians. You say, well, there weren't any Christians in the Old Testament. I know that. Let me explain. They were forgiven. Sacrifice was offered. They were forgiven. And then they lived, now listen to this, every day by what they could do to be accepted by God. As Christians, when we approach our life in Christ from that same perspective, we see ourselves as being forgiven because the sacrifice was offered, the blood was shed. And now, I'm trying to do everything I can do to be accepted by God, blessed by God, in favor with God. That is the human mind approach. But the mind of Christ approach takes what God's Word has said about the believer and says, okay, I can't do anything to be accepted by Him because I'm already accepted by Him. I mean, the Bible says so. We're accepted into His family, into His household. So I can't do something to be accepted. Now what I have to do is live in my acceptance. Live in this place of where I've been accepted. I begin to think with the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ says, I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That is what the mind of Christ, meaning Scripture, imparted to the mind of Christ. That truth is alive in the mind of Christ. But I don't know that. I just have the capacity to know it. Now, let me take this, like, try to get this to go to a next level. Turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. So what happens in the body of Christ? A church like this one, we hear teaching that says, well, we can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And, you know, praise the Lord, I'm born again. And I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And I speak in tongues. And I see these things. And, you know, man's not supposed to live by bread alone. Every word proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. I will do that. Yes, amen. And the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Amen. I can do that. I can lay hands on the sick and I'll recover and they'll recover. Now what's happened is this. Typically, generally speaking, almost, well no, 100% of the time, that belief lives in the human mind. I have read it and I have made a decision. I will accept what God's Word has to say. Therefore, I determine this is true. I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But until it becomes a mind of Christ living reality in me, it's nothing more than a human mind assent to accept something God has said in His Word. Now, this, I'm going to make this very, even more clear as we go further here. Look here. In Isaiah 55, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his what? His thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, see, a lot of people will pull that verse out and say, you see there, you can never know what God's thinking. But that's not true. Because Paul revealed that since we now have God's life and Spirit on the inside of us, we have the ability to know and understand these things. So, using this passage, I'll use it and paraphrase it for clarity. In verse 7, let the Christian forsake what seems to be to him in his mind the right way, and let him forsake his way of thinking and analyzing the things of me. Let him turn to me and me alone for this understanding and comprehension, and I will give him the greatest revelation of my mercy he has ever known, and he will understand the depths of my forgiveness extended to him, because my thoughts are not the world's way of thinking, neither are my ways of operating your ways. The things that I do, the things that I accomplish, I do it in a way that is not your way. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So now here we are born again. We have the mind of Christ. Basically, God is saying, use it. Use the mind of Christ. You try to figure these things out and comprehend these things with your human mind, it doesn't work. This is what leads to so much emotional despair in Christians. It's because we're sitting around racking our brains, trying to figure all this out, And we can't come to any conclusion. We don't know what's happening. So we come up to the prayer line all teary, all upset. I just don't know what to do. I just don't understand. I just, will you please pray for me? Just please pray for me. You could have had a V8. Okay, just threw that in. Wake you up a little bit. Is that not what we do? We've all been there and we've all done that. Why do we do that? It's because we're thinking with the human mind, but we've convinced ourselves we're thinking with the mind of Christ. We're no different than the people who are lost. They can't comprehend these things. We can, but won't. We are rejecting what can happen. I want to show you something. Look over in John. John chapter 16. See, it's with the mind of Christ, when we begin operating this way, with that mind, with that mindset, with that way of thinking, you better be prepared. Christians are going to call you weird. Because you're going to talk the way Jesus talked. You're going to believe the way Jesus believed. You are going to come in line and in agreement with God in a way you never have before. Acknowledgement of a truth is not the same thing as living by that truth. You live by the truth, not because you've read it and said, well, that's what I'm supposed to do, but because it is alive on the inside of you. It is that which you do by nature. So you now are no longer trying to figure out, is this the right thing or wrong thing to do? You're not trying to figure out, oh God, why did you do? Oh God, I don't understand. Oh, pray for me. I can't. It's not. Jesus never did that. He knew what to do all the time. That's because his thinking was kingdom based. And he operated from that position. Kingdom of God is within you. We have the ability through the mind of Christ to do the same thing. The mind of Christ says, you can raise the dead. I understand. When you begin imparting, receiving from the Word of God, remember he said you got to feed the Word of God into you so that you start, well, I'll read it to you again. The mind of Christ must be fed the Word of God to develop his manner of thinking. As you do this, as you continue to put the Word of God in you, you're feeding the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is supernatural. The human mind is natural. The more that you feed your mind with the mind of Christ, and we'll talk about this in just a moment here, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, like Paul referenced in 1 Corinthians 2, there are two things he pointed out, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. When you begin to do this, the supernatural capacity and potential of the mind of Christ in you begins rising up and dominating the human way of thinking. Now, when that happens, the human mind begins to come into submission only in those areas where your mind has been transformed. Romans chapter 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So see, my mind can be transformed in some areas relative to the deep things of God, but in other areas, not. And I have encountered this many times over the years, how that people are really strong in what they comprehend in some things. But in other things, buddy, they'll push truth away from them, you know, like it was a hot rock. You know, get that away from me. I know. They don't want to receive it. They don't want to hear it. And I have learned to listen to the Holy Spirit when I'm talking with people, because some people will become highly offended at a truth their mind rejects. And you can create division. Well, sometimes it's unavoidable. But in some cases, it's better just to listen and you understand where people are coming from. And in the process, you're going to understand how much you can trust some people. Well, here in John chapter 16, now I want you to think about this. I want to read this to you. As I was praying about this, and the Father began speaking to me, he said, too many Christians allow the mind of Christ to be bound by the natural mind. Too many. I mean, he could have said, all Christians at first do this. And we do. Otherwise, he wouldn't say be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We all, at first, allow the mind of Christ to be bound by the natural mind, the human way of thinking. The Holy Spirit is fully capable of revealing to you the completed work of God as it exists in your future, but in His now. Now, I want you to hear this again. The Holy Spirit is fully capable of revealing to you the completed work of God as it exists in your future. We have two things here, a past tense and a future tense. The completed work of God, completed, past tense, as it exists in your future, future tense. But it's in His now. Now, I'm going to prove this with Scripture. I'm going to show this to you. How many of you know how to daydream? Every one of you do. A daydream is when you create mental images, right? And you just imagine things. I mean, I know after Kathy first met me, she daydreamed about being married to me. Well, her daydreams, didn't you? Kind of. She says, I guess. I don't know. For the sake of the sermon. Oh, yes. Do you understand what I mean? We have these daydreams. You know, as kids, we daydream about playing sports and I don't know, just whatever we daydream. In other words, we create these images in our mind of these things happening. Now, we're doing that how? With our spiritual mind of Christ or with our human mind? With the human mind. Okay, now, that being true, is it not possible for the Holy Spirit, through the mind of Christ, to give to us daydreams of God's completed work in our lives in the future, even though it's our future, but it's His right now? I'm going to show you. Okay, John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. Now, I know for years I'm looking at it and thinking, yes, end time prophecy. He'll show me who the Antichrist is. And then I'll tell everybody and make a lot of money. Hallelujah. I will start a ministry, the revelation of the Antichrist. Well, you know what? He can do that. But He's going to show me things to come. He's going to guide me into all truth and show me things to come. This means that some of these things He's going to show me to come are related to the truth He's going to guide me into. Okay? Consider this. He can give me a revelation. He can show me ahead of time people being healed. He can show me people being delivered. He can show me people getting saved. He can show me these things happening. He can pull in their reality from His present tense now, which happens to be my future, and show that to me through the avenue of the mind of Christ. Well, the Father continued and He said, this is how Jesus operated. You want to see it? John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And I used to wonder about that. And people have asked me, what, did he have visions? What's this talking about? And some people have asked me questions about this verse, almost like they're wanting to argue with Scripture. It's weird. So here's Jesus. Using what we know, what Jesus told us. Listen, Jesus told us in John chapter 16 what the Holy Spirit would do. Do you not think Jesus already knew the Holy Spirit could do these things because the Holy Spirit was doing them? Didn't Jesus say, I'll send you another comforter? He'll, in essence, pick up where I've left off. And so here's Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. You don't think that the Holy Spirit at times conveyed to him his future tense so that Jesus would know what was coming? And doesn't it say in Scripture at times Jesus knew their thoughts? How do you know that? Was he a mind reader? No. He received revelation from the Holy Spirit. See, it's no different for us. Okay, human mind says, that is just weird. Mind of Christ says, makes sense to me. Human mind says, that sounds new agey. Mind of Christ says, sounds like God to me. Human mind says, I don't know about all this. I've never heard it like this. Mind of Christ says, I know. How is it going to happen for us, though, until the mind of Christ is dominating our lives? And the mind of Christ exists, but it's not going to dominate until it is developed. In the natural, we teach our children, do we not? We want their minds to develop. We want them to understand things. Same thing when we're born again. We're God's children, babes in Christ. He wants us to know things. He wants us to understand things. Part of the reason he gave us the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit could work with us and Scripture to explain these deep things. Can you imagine? Here's God up on the throne. 4,000 years of human history. Finally, people get born again, get filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's the Holy Spirit. He has been waiting all this time to be able to step into our lives and open up the pages of Scripture and reveal to us the deep things of God. Now, I would think that would be rather exciting for the Holy Spirit. How disappointing if we think we already have it figured out. What we do is, all too often as Christians, we evaluate our level of spiritual growth and spiritual mind development by our own intellect and educational achievements. And because I'm smart, went to Christian college and seminary and whatever else, and because I have, a piece of paper that says I have a degree and I'm ordained and all these other things, so now all of a sudden I think I know a lot. But what is that knowledge based on? What I have reasoned out of Scripture with human analytical thinking, or because of what's been released in me through revelation and the working of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit? Is it the mind of Christ, when it's developed, sees, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, the dead can be raised. It's not a problem. Why are you struggling with this? Well, come on, brother, you gotta use some common sense here. Common sense to who? Common sense to the kingdom? Or common sense to this world? And I'm talking about interacting and speaking with Christians. There are Christians that tell you this can't happen. How many times have you been apprehensive to pray for somebody because you're afraid it won't work? And if it doesn't work, how's that going to make me look? That's human mind thinking. Let me show you something else. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And this verse we're going to read, it really ties into this. In Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For us, we go beyond all these people in Hebrews chapter 11. We are the Hebrews chapter 12 people looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the giver of the mind of Christ. We accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We now have the mind of Christ, the ability to think that way. Faith is in part operating by the mind of Christ and seeing these things. Now, I'm not saying you're having visions per se, although that's part of it. This whole thing of the mind of Christ is all about us coming to the place of thinking the way Jesus thought when he was here on the earth. It makes perfect sense. If how are we going to pay our taxes? Well, let's see. Okay, go down here, Peter, throw your line into the water. First fish you catch, open its mouth, reach inside, pull out the money for you and me. How'd he know that? I'll guarantee you when Peter did it, it's like, okay, I'll do this. So he goes and gets his fishing pole, and the disciples are asking, where are you going? He said, well, got to pay my taxes. With your fishing pole? Well, you know, the temple, never mind. So he goes down, throws the line in, pulls out the first fish. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Peter and I pull that fish out, I'm going to have that fish in my hand and I'm going to be looking around to see if anybody's watching me. And then open its mouth and, whoa, there it is. Well, you think Jesus just made that up? Or is it possible that in a split instant, the Father showed Jesus through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, here's what will happen. If you can get Peter to do this, here's what will happen. And Jesus saw it. Is that possible? Absolutely. Because remember, the mind of Christ is supernatural. It's not bound by the natural things, which includes time. So therefore, the Holy Spirit can show us these things from the future, completed works, even though in our now, we don't have a clue. But faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it here. I don't see it in my now. Let me read this last part, part of this here. Jesus saw the completed works as they were revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can give you the vision of a completed assignment even if you do not presently have the materials and money needed to complete the assignment. This is why it's so important for us to develop the mind of Christ, because when God says do something and then you govern your obedience by natural circumstances, that's human thinking. But when I'm thinking with the mind of Christ, I begin to see this thing happening. Therefore, I understand what to do now because I already see the end result. I already know it. Even if it's not a literal vision that I have, the knowing of it will be inside me. Well, he continued with this and said, Scripture is a living revelation of God's pattern of thought. Meditating in Scripture develops the mind of Christ in you. Praying in the Spirit allows the Holy Spirit to help you live by the mind of Christ. It's a whole new way of thinking. It's a whole new way of living and existing. A lot of the things that we've asked, prayer for in our past, we will never ask things like that again when we start being dominated by the mind of Christ. It's because we'll already know and understand. Our minds cannot comprehend, the human mind will never comprehend it. But this information from the mind of Christ begins to impact our day-to-day way of thinking. And our human mind, in submission to the mind of Christ, things start working together for us. We begin to see it differently. And the way you talk is going to change. It will completely change. Think of this. You know, your body's all, you got some kind of physical whatever going. So, well, I know I'm healed. I know I'm healed. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. I know I'm healed. Okay, but how many times is that human mind agreement with the Word of God and not mind of Christ living reality? Quite frankly, and listen, I'm guilty here. It is human mind agreement with the truth, not mind of Christ dominance in my way of thinking. Now, the only way that this is going to change for any of us is if we continue to feed our minds with the Word of God. Because His Word is alive and it is life. My words are spirit, they are life. They are truth. And the more that we get into the Word of God, and listen again, guys, I'm not exempt from this. The more that we get into the Word of God and just read, is the more that we are imparting supernatural life, supernatural imagery, supernatural truth, all of those things to our minds. We're feeding the mind of Christ in us. That takes time. Listen, you didn't graduate from high school in 3 years. Some of you, maybe still, you haven't graduated. That's like Jethro. He's so proud of himself, graduated from sixth grade. Listen, it takes time to do this. Be patient. But at least we can give ourselves the chance for this change to take place by getting into the Word. I needed to hear this today because I need this reminder. I know that too many times in my own past, well, I'll even say it like this, I am still too dominated by human mind thinking. And that has to change. It's not just that it should change, it has to change. If I'm going to be everything God wants me to be, it has to change. And that's the same thing for all of us. And I encourage you to think about these things. Consider them. Meditate on them. You know, it talks about Jesus' mother, Mary. You know, she pondered these things in her heart. Let's ponder these things and give thought to it. Truth is, we don't know how much change will take place because we've never experienced the change. Once we've experienced it, then we know. But according to the Word of God, it will happen.